I'm with Al Carter. He's the world's foremost authority on rebound exercise. We're told, Al Carter, that if you jump up and down on one of these little trampolines, that you can build bone density. Is there any scientific backing for that?
NASA had a problem where the astronauts were shot up in space, and in 14 days they lost 15% of their bone mass.
Wow.
We have had people now who have rebounded for 20 years, and they have bone density of a 35-year-old woman.
So that's actually been measured by docs, eh?
That's measured by doctors, and we receive this back from the people who have actually done it.
So for menopausal ladies who do the osteoporosis thing, these little trampolines are cool.
They're the best form of exercise they can get.
And you can get yourself a rebounder simply by going to the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. These little small trampolines, the price includes shipping, about 3 or 4 days. It'll be there via UPS. They are shipped the same day you order. Go through PayPal. You do not have to be a PayPal member. Simply a credit card. It is very secure, and you're ready to go, and you're going to love having these rebounders around your house on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source. One Radio Network. Talk to Patrick now. 888-663-6386 or email Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Having fun this morning, hour number two with Ajanus von der Planets, WeWantToLive.com, August 17, 2010. We're live here, 888-663-6386. We'll put you on hold when you call, and then we'll pick it up live on the air. Folks have been calling. I put them on hold, and they hang up because they don't understand. But you can hear the show on hold. Just turn down your computer and listen on the phone. Here's an email for you, Ajanus, on this Tuesday morning. Jan from New Hampshire. Please ask Ajanus about his opinion of taking flaxseed oil for obtaining omega-3s.
Well, first of all, you have to look at the science on omega-3s and 6s. You say we have an overabundance of 3s and 6s. I mean, overabundance of 6s and a deficiency in 3s. So you have to look at who's giving that information, why it's given. And, of course, we're deficient in everything. And the object is not to, go to fish oil or flax oil, which isn't natural for the human body, as a supplement to take care of it. We should be eating properly, which is the whole raw food, and except for vegetables, juices, of course. And we should be eating the whole raw food to be able to get all the nutrients properly. Of course, when you cook anything, you're going to have deficiencies. It's just not omega-3s, and it's not an overabundance of 6s. It's everything. We have an overabundance of toxins and an underabundance of vitamins and enzymes, and even minerals that are not cauterized. Do you know that the cauterization of phosphorus begins at 98 degrees. By the time you've hit 106, 107, you've cauterized, or 118, so scientists say, 118, you cauterize phosphorus. That's how they tell. They look at the phosphorus to tell whether something's been properly pasteurized. Pasteurization temperature used to be 141 degrees for 15 seconds. Now they're ultra-pasteurizing, which is over 250 degrees for 30 seconds. So everything's out to destroy everything.
So if we would drink these rice milks, hemp milk, almond milk, soy milk, etc., in these aseptic packages, that's a plethora all over the place in the health food stores, these things are cooked at a pretty high temperature, are they not?
They have to be. The FDA won't let them on the market.
Mm-hmm. And these aren't...
And they wouldn't last. They'd have a very short shelf life.
Uh-huh.
And no company will jeopardize that. And the so-called natural ingredient that all of these natural companies use, and organic companies, they use kerosene derivative, Sure, kerosene's natural. That doesn't mean it's healthy. Would you soak a peach in kerosene for 30 minutes and then rinse it and wash it and eat it?
I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't either, because you know that kerosene is a solvent. It will just eat into that peach a good quarter of an inch within 30 minutes. So if you've utilized a kerosene derivative to separate, to fractionate, and then separate what you want to call good in something and to concentrate it as a supplement, that's what you've done. You've contaminated with the kerosene derivative. That's just the natural ones. The unnatural ones use blatant gasoline and all other kinds of really toxic turpentine. They're using anything. It's cheaper.
In general, what's your feelings about making kefir or yogurts, these kinds of things out of raw milk products?
I think that's one of the best things you can do. Because most people have had so many antibiotics and so many additives to their foods, they have very little of their natural bacteria. And as I said when we first started the show, 80 to 90% of digestion should be bacterial. So if you're lacking in bacteria, your body has to rely only on digestive acids to digest. And that's only a small portion of digestion. So by eating a food that has been fermented by its own bacteria, it's wonderful. Adds bacteria back to your body. There's a scientist that came out 2 years ago and spoke at TED, who was a microbiologist, and she said, do you know that 99% of the body is bacterial? That 99% of all activity from the body comes from bacteria. When you take antibiotics, a round of antibiotics for 5 to 7 days, you destroy 1% of the body's bacteria. Eating a food with, let's say, 23 additives, which is minimum for any food, that's minimum for any food. You have 60,000 chemicals that go into foods now as additives, as preservatives, gives them very long shelf lives. Just one meal can destroy 0.01% of the bacteria in the body. So if you're doing that all day long, you're destroying 1% of your bacteria a day. The body can only reproduce itself with an inundation like that after the age of 21, very, very weakly. That's why children are getting diseases so young, born with diseases. People are getting older quicker. We have much more autism and all kinds of problems because of all of the chemicals and additives destroying the bacteria in the body. The body can't function properly. All heat and energy is generated not by caffeine, not by nicotine normally and healthfully, but by bacteria and fats.
What is the difference in the digestive process with bacteria or acid, hydrochloric acid, which we're told everybody's low on?
Well, yeah, they're low on it because they're not eating properly.
Right.
Digestive acids break down larger molecules of food. Let's say you swallow a chunk of meat. The hydrochloric acid will break that down into smaller forms so the bacteria can penetrate all of it and break it down with the 24 hours that you have by the time it leaves the body. We have 24 hours. Most of the time, it takes 24 hours for food to pass from the mouth to the rectum. Of course, if you're eating a lot of fruit and eating some high foods, it may be out in 10 hours or even 2 hours. Depends upon what it is. But normally, the rate of digestion is 24 hours. So if you have very large chunks of food, the bacteria can't penetrate it, so a lot of your food will just pass through you. So the digestive acids break down the larger chunks of food into smaller portions so that the bacteria can penetrate and eat it. And then their waste is our food.
Their waste is our food, huh?
Yeah, their urine, their feces, their perspiration, that's our food.
Does the body build up hydrochloric acid in eating the way you advise?
No, the body produces hydrochloric acid whenever food is in the stomach or whenever it even when you put food in the mouth, the body will start producing hydrochloric acid. Or if the body's using the stomach as a dumping ground for poison, then hydrochloric acid will be produced by the stomach lining. It isn't like the liver produces bile and stores it in the gallbladder. Or the bone marrow produces red blood cells and stores it in excess in the spleen. No, the stomach lining creates hydrochloric acid on a momentary basis. There's no advanced production.
We're told, though, by so many people that most Americans are low on acid, and then they take these antacids, but it's really that they're low on
hydrochloric. They're not producing it.
They're not producing it. So how can they start producing it again naturally?
Well, eating raw foods is very helpful, and there are two foods in particular that stimulate hydrochloric acid production, and that's corn, raw corn,
really?
And beet juice.
Beet juice.
Beet, B-E-E-T, mm-hmm. Beet juice.
Uh-huh. Corn, it's hard
to get. Somewhere to eat, yeah.
It's hard to get corn that's not GMO, though, isn't it?
Correct, it is. So you have to go for beet juice. Let's say if you have a hydrochloric acid problem, probably an ounce or two, at maximum two a day is all that's necessary.
And that helps your body to produce more.
Correct.
Oh, that's great. Here's an email. This is an interesting one from Christian Peterson. And he says, could you please ask Ajahnist to talk about saturated fat and the importance of it in our diets for hormones? I would like to hear his opinions about butter and beef and tallow and what percentage of calories in our diets he thinks we should be consuming from fat. I would like to understand this better.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to go back to that one woman's question that I never answered about the Terramin clay being antibacterial. It's antibacterial when it's dry. But as I suggest in my book, you pre-make it. You already make it into like a plaster of Paris, fresh batch of plaster of Paris, that consistency. Let it sit for 4 or 5 days and let the bacteria start thriving in the clay itself, and then it won't be an antibacterial. So let's get into the saturated fat.
Yeah.
Now, we've been handed another myth that unsaturated fats are what we need. Unsaturated fats are what we need.
Mm-hmm.
That's because some people wanted to do us harm, to give us less nutrients, so we'll eat more and buy more and get sicker and take more medication and all of that. Your unsaturated fat almost always comes from vegetable fat. We are not vegetarians. We are not herbivores. Herbivores have a digestive tract 2.5 times longer than ours. They have 60,000 times more enzymes to disassemble the cellulose molecule to get the fat and the protein. They require 48 hours to digest their food, to digest vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Ours passes through in 24.
Mm-hmm.
So us taking in vegetation is also causes another problem in that our digestive tract is acidic and herbivores is alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
So they handle alkaline foods properly. Their bacteria is alkaline. Their digestive juices are mainly alkaline. Ours are almost 100% acidic.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't digest those things. But they wanted to start selling vegetable oils and seed oils rather than butter, just another gimmick. Another way that you can process a food and keep bacteria down, because there's less bacteria. There's less fermentation and souring bacteria in a vegetable compared with milk or cream or cheese or meat, any of those foods. They will ferment quickly. They will bacterially break down and become bitter quickly. Vegetable oils don't do that as quickly, especially if they get to, and they do, take full advantage of it, flavor them. Put other chemicals in them to change the taste. So, unsaturated fats are not good fats for the human body. We thrive on saturated fat.
Olive oil?
And most of those...
Olive oil is...
Olive oil.
Is that any good?
Olive oil, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an animal fat,
mm-hmm.
so it won't stabilize the system. It will certainly cleanse the system, but, you know, if you want to be angry and skinny, you know, then live on olive oil.
Coconut oil?
Coconut oil is a little bit better. It has, that has a lot more soothing nutrients in it, but it still will be mainly used as a detoxifier,
oh.
a cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have coconut cream, where you're juicing the cream out of the coconut and not just separating the 7 to 8% that is oil, then it will act much more like a dairy cream, but still not to the extent that the dairy cream will soothe the brain and nervous system.
Did you tell us last time you were on where you found a coconut cream that one could buy that you like, or did I dream that?
No, you must have dreamed that.
Okay.
There was a coconut oil, yes, that I that you could get.
Yeah.
But the coconut cream, there are three places you can get it, but you have to be a member of my club,
mm-hmm.
One of the clubs. That's something we didn't finish either. The clubs, the owners, the club members are owners of the herds and lands that cultivate the produce.
Oh.
So whether it's milk or the meat of the animal or the produce of the land, we lease those from the farmer. As a leaseholder, you are the owner and you have all legal rights of ownership and responsibilities. So in that situation, the farmer is not selling us anything because we already own the product. We're paying him to produce it for us, to maintain it.
Like the like the milk clubs that are around the country, that kind of paradigm.
No, they're on a share.
Oh.
A herd share.
Mm-hmm.
Herd share is like owning stock. You don't really have any rights. You get some, you know, a little bit of money here and there out of your dividends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a good thing. A lot of states have outlawed it. A lot of courts have denied it. A few states have accepted it, like Colorado. But most of them, it's a hard time. Farmers are going out of business doing that herd share program stuff. I recommend they get into my lease share program and they'll be protected.
Now,
otherwise,
your program,
they're going out of business.
Your program, people can do that regardless of where they live.
Doesn't matter where they live. They just need to become, you know, have a club.
Mm-hmm.
It's under Right to Choose Healthy Food. They get from farmers that are under contract with Right to Choose Healthy Food, and they will be the owners, so they'll be protected. And once you take the commerce out, because there is no commerce anymore.
Yeah.
So law has no jurisdiction over that club and that food.
And folks can learn more about that on your website, the club?
You can go to Right to Choose Healthy Foods.
Okay.
That's with a plural, but my my organization is called Right to Choose Healthy Food, and also rawmilk.org.
Okay, Right to Choose Healthy Foods, plural.com.
Yeah, right.
And then
rawmilk.org.
Mm-hmm. And that gives you the whole scoop. Mm-hmm. So to finish on Christian's question, he wanted to know about like percentage of calories in our diet he thinks we should be consuming from fat. Do you have a number you can put on that for him?
Well, it all depends upon the individual's health. If you have a person who's already fatty, he certainly doesn't need to eat as much fat as somebody who's very thin.
Mm.
And if you're an average build and you have a little bit of fat storage and you're not a muscle builder, I mean, a showman muscle builder,
mm-hmm.
where you have very little fat on the body, if you're a weightlifter, you've got weight. Fat generates 2.5 times more energy than carbohydrates and protein. That's why you'll never see a skinny wrestler and you'll never see a skinny weightlifter, because you have to have fat to have that kind of strength. And the way those guys flip around, even though it's a showmanship, they really bruise and damage their body if they didn't have all that fat.
Hmm.
That fat is very protective and it gives them immense strength. So if you're an average person, I would say 3 tablespoons of butter a day, 4 tablespoons of cream a day, and then as much meat fat as you want.
Speaking of that, here's an email from Fred, and I think this is a common one, and I'm interested in this too because I have this issue. Fred says that he is allergic to casein. He can't digest it, doesn't have, but he loves it, and he wants to do some dairy. Your host is in that situation. How is it that Patrick and others have got ourselves into being not able to eat casein? Butter seems to work, which is strange, but not the raw milk.
Well, there's no protein, and there's hardly any protein
in the butter,
consisting of casein and butter.
So what's going on?
And cheeses and whole milk. Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on in our gut and digestive tract for us who are having trouble with casein, and how do we change that?
Well, it happens when milk is pasteurized and homogenized. The casein is cauterized. So that protein is not assimilated well or digested at all, and it gets into the blood. Then the body starts putting it like bound with minerals,
sure.
like in a mineral deposit, so it creates crystals. So they store throughout the body. So when it gets to a point when the body says, no, I can't handle anymore, then you have a casein allergy.
What if you have the same experience with raw milk?
Well, you only have that for like 3 months. If you eat 4 ounces of raw milk daily, you don't have to have it all at one time.
A
tablespoon
mm-hmm.
throughout the day. That's only 8. If you're having a half a cup, that's 8 tablespoons.
Oh, so you just use it as medicine, and eventually your body.
Yeah. And then after 3 months, your body will discard. See, when people take some raw dairy who've had, not everybody, but some cases of casein allergies, will start detoxing the casein as soon as they start drinking the raw milk. 98% of the people who are lactose intolerant or casein intolerant, when they go on raw milk, they have no problem whatsoever. But there are 1% of those that have casein problems that will react to raw milk, and 2% of people who have lactose problems with raw milk. But again, it's the cooked lactose that's stored in their body, and as soon as that's cleaned down, it takes about 3 months.
I see.
Then they won't have allergies to it anymore. I do not know one person who is still casein or lactose intolerant after 3 months of doing that.
Well, that's good information, because it is it's a great food and it's fun to have, and maybe...
Oh, it's so relaxing and soothing.
Yeah. What's the difference, Igenis, between like the raw goat's milk and the raw cow's milk?
Well, I usually ask people not to eat goat's milk unless they're very overweight or they're diabetic. Goat's milk has a lot of adrenaline precursors. Have you ever met a relaxed goat?
No, man. They're wiry and kind of like...
And they'll eat nails. They'll eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a problem, with cow's milk, then... I mean, if you have a problem with cow's milk, then okay for goat's milk for a while. But I would still add butter from a cow.
Yeah.
To the diet, even if you're eating the goat's milk.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. Like in Ayurveda medicine, they talk about a vata, or the wiry and kind of high strung and moving around, which a lot of people are. Thin people.
Type A's.
Yeah, type A's. those folks. And Ayurveda says, well, you need like more grounding and more oil and more fat and more calmness.
Yep.
And that's what a moo cow is. So I think your point is well taken there. So that's very interesting. I have a question for you. I've been getting these grass, really range, really nice chickens from the farmer's market. And they're actually harvested the day before and you get them fresh. But now I found out last week that they supplement their feed with genetically modified corn. They said that's
soy.
The only... Soy. Now, so I'm thinking, man, I don't want to give up this source, but I knew I was going to talk to you. Is that an issue? I mean, is Patrick and others...
Well, it's an issue if it's over 25% of the feed.
Over 25%.
Yeah. I found that if you're eating, your chicken raw...
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, those 25%, the animals are you going to have taken care of most of the toxicity in the fat and in its own system. If that animal is fed over 25%, I found that the human body, when it eats the animal, is going to have a toxic reaction,
really?
A toxic accumulation.
Really?
If it's over 25%.
How'd you figure that out?
Well, I used animals and feeding them different things, and then at death, do autopsies.
Really?
And see what residues remain and how the tissue is different. And that's the only difference was, I used just raw foods, the same raw food all the time with the same cooked food with animals.
Mm-hmm.
To see the differences.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking about the free market in this regard, thinking, well, if I told the people that I didn't want the chickens with GMOs, maybe that would encourage them to change. And if I
absolutely does, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
They're just not aware.
Yeah, and if I support the GMO, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm supporting a behavior other than the best behavior.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think Whole Foods will ever get to a non-GMO thing?
No.
No?
No, Whole Foods is, they're bred out of Texas where you are.
Yes, sir, right down the road.
Yep, and from my understanding, it's owned through trusts by two big, powerful families in Texas that have no interest in health whatsoever and are into it for the money.
Here's an email from Mark in Guam. Greetings from Guam, Patrick Anogenes. Can Anogenes lend any insights, recipes to combating adrenal fatigue and inflammation? Most raw vegans cite meat or animal produce as inflammatory power source.
Well, eating adrenals from an animal is the best way to regenerate that. That's the only way I know to do it quickly. But, of course, eating butter and any kind of meat is going to help the adrenals. Raw butter, raw meat.
Unsalted.
Correct.
Correct, Amundo. It's interesting, too, that the Ayurveda people have talked about unsalted butter for as long as I've studied some of their stuff. They must be on to something there. P.S. From Mark, in your book, Anogenes goes into great detail about how he cured his son from injuries sustained in a car crash. He used raw meat, cream, and butter. How is his son doing today? Is he still doing the raw food which helped him?
Well, everybody wants to know that usually that's read my books.
Yeah, right.
My son was doing very well, but he was raised on Ritalin.
Oh.
And if you know anything about Ritalin, 86% of the people who are addicted to crack cocaine were on Ritalin as children. So he has a crack cocaine addiction, has had it ever since I got to know him after the accident. So every 2.5 years, like clockwork, he gets back into it. He does eat the raw eggs frequently. He eats the raw meat and raw dairy only when he gets sick. So he's okay, but I mean, he looks like my brother rather than my son because he doesn't take care of himself like I take care of myself.
Yeah. We're losing you just a bit. Maybe move around for a second. Okay.
No, I'm very stationary.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Here is from Rebecca in Queensland, Australia. Can you please ask Ogenus about root canals? Does he share the same views as the dentists that have been interviewed on previous shows about root canals and their link to cancer? Or if you eat a proper diet as he prescribes, then root canals will not have a harmful effect? Or does he agree it is necessary to remove them in order to progress?
Well, I still have 3 out of 7 still left in my mouth. I do not agree with pulling a tooth. I think the root canals are a lot better than not having your own tooth and having some kind of a prosthesis, a metallic prosthesis in your mouth. You can never convince me that the cells of a tooth will be more harmful than a piece of platinum or, you know, titanium, whatever we're making out of implants these days, are healthy in the body. Just not going to convince me of that. The body can handle cellular biological tissue, not metallic minerals. I do agree that in some circumstances, if a root canal wasn't done properly, then there could be a temporary infection at the base of the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But those problems, if you're eating properly, will be handled very readily.
Well,
most of the dental problems that exist today are because the tooth that got the root canal was rotted in the first place by an amalgam, which is a metal filling full of mercury and thallium. And that poisoned the nerve in the tooth, damaged the tooth. All the nerve going all the way to the brain is contaminated with the mercury and thallium. So that's what creates the problem. Removing the tooth doesn't change that one bit. However, sometimes removing the tooth will cause the nerve that was attached to the tooth to detoxify too fast.
The anti-root canal people contend that they're all infected. Huggins and all of these people and many people around the country contend that they're all infected, root canals.
Well, I think everybody's teeth and gums are infected, period, because of their diets. They're always infected.
Mm-hmm.
And to blame it on root canals is a little extreme to me.
Oh, I see. So what you're suggesting is if your dietary advice is accurate, you're suggesting that to connect the root canals to cancer as they have is only because what you're saying is it's only because they're not eating the right food, and if they were eating the right food...
And they're grossly contaminated.
Well, it could be...
Listen, when you have cancer, you have so much toxicity in the body that the liver stops functioning properly. It stops making the varieties of bile that make all the varieties of cholesterol that we need. And there's certain, like a third of those cholesterols are used by the lymphatic system to dissolve dead cells. If the liver isn't working properly, guess what? You don't make the fats, the cholesterols, that the lymphatic system needs to dissolve cells. So what happens? You collect dead cells. That's what cancer is, collection of dead cells the body can't dissolve. Usually when the liver goes into a breakdown, it'll go into the breakdown for 18 months if there's no chemotherapy or anything, any other poisoning. If there's poisoning, then the liver could stay damaged for life, and of course you will die because the tumors will start shutting off functionality.
Interesting. Let's go back to GMOs for a minute. We've had people on the show of late, Ajahn, as von der Planitz, that suggested this idea that GMOs are bad. It's incorrect. They're not only bad, but they claim dangerous, and that the body simply cannot digest these foods. Do you agree with that?
Well,
or digest very difficult. Let me say that.
Okay.
Yeah, difficult to digest.
Okay, that's something I can't speak of because I've done no laboratory work with genetic modification. Of course, I was raised on some genetically modified foods in their very early stages, and I was a very diseased, unhealthy child. There are scientists who've done experiments and shown that severe allergies are produced by genetically modified foods, and terrible diseases are developing, including diabetes from genetically modified foods. But I can't speak firsthand on the subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're right, it sure changes the whole paradigm of, you know, going out to eat is done, right? Because you don't have any idea.
Well, any time you go out to eat, you're going to eat genetically modified something.
Yeah, you're going to eat some. Here's an email from Bridget.
And even if you go to the store and buy something in a package,
you know you're getting it, right?
Yeah.
Here's an email from Bridget. What does Ajahnus think about colonics or enemas, and what are the three most important foods he thinks we should all be eating?
Well, those are two giant questions.
Yeah, boy, I tell you. our listeners don't fool around here.
We'll take the colonics first. Your bacteria, like I said, is supposed to be 80 to 90% of digestion. Your bowel is the area where you digest proteins and fats to their finest molecule to feed the brain and nervous system. So that's a digestive process. That bowel is still a digestive area. If you wash out that intestinal bacteria, what are you going to digest for the brain and nervous system? How are you going to provide enough food for the brain and nervous system? Colonics are very bad. That's no way to clean something out quickly. You just eat properly and stop eating junk, and you won't have a bad problem. Eating fats, eating cheeses, well, pull toxicity out of the bowels in a sensible, logical, compassionate way for the body.
Raw cheeses.
Yes.
Well, you have to be careful, because if you're correct about the salt, a lot of those raw cheeses, they put salt in, don't they?
Yeah, but you can get them from an Amish farmer who doesn't put salt in them.
And then you want to make sure they're grass-fed, right?
Well, you can make the cheese yourself easily. Just let it separate. Put a teaspoon of lemon and a gallon of milk and let it separate in curds and whey, and then just filter the milk through a cheesecloth or a terry cloth. And let it dry out. There you have cheese.
Are you going to have moo cows in Thailand when you have your farm?
Absolutely.
What kind are you going to get?
Jerseys.
You're going to get the big guys, or what they call the more authentic heritage, the smaller ones?
It depends on what I can find over here.
Here's an email from Hunan. Could you ask Ajahnus if it's necessary to wipe the dishes with lemon after dealing with raw meat, or can we just use hot water? Oh, and also then, before we do that one, the hot water and lemon, the lady asked about...
Three favorite
foods.
Yes. I think milk, meat, and eggs are the most important foods.
Uh-huh. Eggs, we're often told, you've heard it before, well, you should eat the yolks raw, but you've got to cook those whites a little bit, otherwise they're indigestible. Urban myth?
Scientific malarkey.
From the motion picture, scientific malarkey.
I've eaten up to 50 eggs a day.
Wow.
And I've been eating raw eggs for 38 years.
Wow.
I don't have a biotin deficiency. I don't know anybody. And I've got people eating anywhere from 30 to 40 eggs a day. Well, anywhere from 20 to 40 eggs a day on a daily basis for as long. Some people who've had Crohn's disease or MS, they can't digest anything else but raw eggs. I've been eating that for like nothing, almost nothing but that for 2 years.
My goodness.
Never, ever, ever have seen any symptom of a biotin deficiency. So it's absolutely laboratory bullshit, excuse my language.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good for the garden, you know, that bull dung. Ogenous.
Absolutely.
Ogenous, well, what about now? I go to the farmer's market and I ask a lot of questions for the people, and we can get some really lovely, real rich, dark yolks, you know, the real orange. But most of the people, almost all of them, have to supplement a little bit in Texas because of the slow rain sometime. And some of them use GMO corn or some use organic corn. Is it an issue if they feed some GMO corn to these chickens and you eat their eggs?
If it's more than 25% of the feed, you could have a problem.
Oh, but you're back to that. Okay.
That's only if you're eating it raw. If you're not eating them raw, you're always going to have some kind of problem.
Yeah, by cooking them, it's not happy, huh?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, it releases the toxicity. It can alter your own genes.
If we mix something with eggs, like raw milk, and make a little like a tonic, is that okay? Is that cool? Or do you like them just straight away?
Well, they'll digest in about 27 minutes if you're eating them by themselves. So it's the quickest way to get well and healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
Tastier, of course, if you make it into a milkshake.
Mm-hmm. Takes a bit longer.
Yeah.
It takes
6 to 10 hours.
Mm. Here's an email from Zara. Do we need red meat, or can we get everything we need from dairy and eggs?
Well, I've tried dairy and eggs on many people, and I would say 80% of them need meat. It doesn't have to be red. It could be any meat.
What about grass-fed buffalo, lamb? Good to change around interchange with beef?
Absolutely. I met a tribe in the Philippines that eats nothing but raw fish, coconut meat, and once in a while, either a mango or a banana. Hmm. They live on three foods, only three foods.
Pretty healthy?
They lived to be 140s.
No kidding.
Mid-140s. Wow. You know, I mean, can you imagine having your healthy teeth at that age?
Amazing. Raw fish. What'd you say? Raw fish, a little bit of fruit, and some coconut meat.
Raw fish, coconut meat.
Hmm.
Raw fish, coconut meat.
Hmm.
And once in a while, either a banana or a mango.
In that culture, do you have, I don't know if you've asked or looked around, how long were the ladies fertile? Do you have any idea?
That I didn't ask,
so
I really couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in tribes like that, and when a couple have a baby, it's the whole community decides.
Oh, interesting.
Who has one, because it's the whole tribe's baby.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Just doesn't belong to the couple. The whole tribe raises every individual.
Here's an email. Don't know the first name, but what about whey intolerance? Is there whey in butter?
Very little whey. If you let butter sit, of course, the moisture will evaporate, but it's usually no more than 4%. That's the whole idea of getting butter. It's to squeeze all the water out of the cream.
Mm-hmm.
And let the bacteria break the cream down to a very easily digestible state, which is butter.
A second part of Zara's question that I missed, I'm going to go back here. Animals often eat organ meats. Is it best to eat organ meats and fats over lean meat?
Well, that's because most animals, when they eat the whole animal.
The whole thing.
And the glands and the organs will get stinky fast.
Ah.
So, and also they'll cause more fermentation, and that could cause some diarrhea. So that's why animals usually eat that first. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to. The people that I know that believe that and eat that way are very high A types, hyperactive, aggressive people, and they don't have much fat in their muscles, and they're not very calm people.
Mm-hmm. So fat is calm.
Fat is, helps calm the body.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be a, you know, diehard tennis or basketball champion, you might live on the glands. That would be mm-hmm. a good diet for somebody who's athletic. But for your normal individual who's pretty sedentary, you know, it's not, those wouldn't be good foods to have every day and only survive on those or live on those, or thrive on those.
Because cows look like they're meditating all the time.
Yes, they do. They're taking it pretty easy. They will swallow a mouthful of food and regurgitate it up to 7 times and re-chew it. They take their time.
They take their time. Yeah. Do you think it's important eating raw meats and eggs to chew the food well?
No, I don't, because, well, if you have low hydrochloric acid, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we have enough hydrochloric acid. Not like dogs and cats. They produce 15 times more than we do in the stomach. However, we produce as much as they do all throughout the small intestines.
Oh, so it's produced in the small intestine. Oh.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we're producing it and dumping it all the time. In the small intestine.
Let me go back a minute to the colon and the enemas, and you're talking about washing out the bacteria there. I was under the impression, Ajanus, that all of the nutrients and everything are kind of already extracted out through the small intestines, and the colon is simply taking out water. So that's incorrect?
That's very incorrect.
Oh, see? Uh-huh. You got to be careful what you hear on the radio.
Yes. Just remember, anything you hear from the medical profession or scientific community about health, do 99% of the time, do just the opposite, and you'll be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the colon, you still have these bacteria and things, and you're still getting nutrients through the colonic walls, and that's why the colonics could be ill-advised, unless maybe an emergency or something.
Well, to me, there's no emergency that would call for that, unless, let's say, you had a tumor in your intestine,
yeah,
and stuff wouldn't flow through, and if you had a colonic, it could help something wash through temporarily, but that's about the only emergency I could see.
So here's another question from Hudson. Eggs are a staple in our diet. You may have already answered this, but we'll do it again. What advice, suggestions, recommendations in terms of the number of eggs? They must have just tuned in, because you said pretty much people can eat whatever they want and as far as eggs, huh?
As many as they like. I've never seen anybody go, you know, of course, 50 is the most I've ever seen anybody.
That's amazing.
And it's the most I've ever consumed. it's the most I've ever consumed, and nobody's had a problem. So, and I love them, because let's say I'm, you know, I can't stop and eat. I'm working hard, like I'm at a seminar doing my workshops. I'll suck an egg, you know, whenever my energy gets low, or my clarity goes. I mean, I was one time I was only able to sleep an hour and a half a day, and I had to do legal writing and work, and, you know, 23 and a half hours a day. So I would suck an egg like every hour and a half or less, 45 minutes to an hour, and it kept my brain alert and going.
Now, when you travel, and you know, internationally or anywhere, you must have contacts around that you know where you can get some eggs that are really, you know, pasture raised and all of that, rather than on corn or something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have my clients and people who benefit by my diet always help me.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever I go.
Yeah. How about in Thailand? Is that an easy job to find good grass-fed meat and eggs?
No, it's much easier here.
Is it?
You know, people are so poor in areas. Of course, if you go buy in the regular supermarkets, you're getting the regular same stuff from either France or Australia, you know, same old, same old.
Sure.
But if you go to the poor shops with all the flies all over it, these people have slaughtered that animal during the night. They're out selling it that day. And they've, you know, there's so much growing here because of all the rain. You know, the cows grow up just on grass.
Here's an email from Chelsea. Maybe it's Chelsea Clinton. Just kidding. Ask Ogenis whether bone broth and cooked marrow contain bad fats. Love to you both. Chelsea. Probably Chelsea Clinton.
Absolutely. You have, you've got lipid peroxides that form from cooking any fat. You've got other toxins, too, but the lipid peroxides are, the lipid peroxides and heterocyclic amines, that's the proteins that are usually toxic in the broth.
So the Weston Price folks in that bone broth thing, you don't think that's a very good idea?
If you're following a cooked food diet,
probably pretty good.
Partial raw diet could be good, but if you're on my diet, that of course is not good.
What would be a symptom with having too much fruit? I mean, fruit's so sweet and juicy and tasty, but I guess it's easier to overdo.
Very easy to overdo.
Can you tell us some symptoms that we could see in ourselves if we're doing too much?
Well, get sleepy easily, get low in energy. You'll bottom out on energy an hour or two after eating a lot of fruits. And less time. Moves you toward overtaxing the pancreas because it has to produce a lot of insulin to deal with it. To make it into a storable sugar to use at another time. It breaks down fats. Sugars are good to help you digest because they'll produce enzymes to help break down foods. And they help the liver break down fat. So a small amount of fruit is very important, but not a lot, because it will rid the body, the blood, of fat, and then you'll find yourself either tired or irritable, or both.
Your host here every now and then has little pieces of raw pineapple with some raw meat, and it seems to work nice.
Well, yes, that's what I put in my. You can eat pineapple or papaya with your meat.
Helps to digest everything.
Correct, because of the bromelain pineapple. And the papain and the papaya.
What do you think about these young white coconuts from Thailand that you can get at Whole Foods and such? We hear stories about they're bleached or weird things. Do you think that they're a suitable food for us?
Well, they are gassed and they are sprayed with chemicals to keep them from turning brown from here to there. I don't care for those young coconuts for that reason. They are in the States. I enjoy them here, but I won't eat them in the States.
Oh, by the time they get from Thailand to Milwaukee, you don't know where they've been, as we say.
And what they've been exposed with chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom used to say, don't touch your Uncle Tony. You don't know where he's been. That's not true. I just made that up. Well, Ajahn, it's always fun to have you on the show, and thanks for spending 2 hours. And so now it's about 11 o'clock there. Will you go to sleep now, or will you stay up and do
you... No, I'm still working. I'll sleep about maybe not three hours.
When you say working, what kind of things will you do now?
Well, I've got a newsletter that I have to finish, and I've got... I get about 100 emails a day.
Really?
And then I've got to deal with, you know, the farmer stuff, the legal things, you know, because the FDA came in. And the FDA, the health department, the California, the city of Los Angeles, the county, all raided our co-op about 5 weeks ago. And we broke their seals and opened for business after they left. But they sold 17 cases of product, and they only had in the warrant, which was a false warrant because they cited felonies. You could only get a warrant on felonies. And all they were charging us for was permit violations, which were all misdemeanors.
I see.
So they got a false warrant to begin with, and the warrant said they could take samples for testing,
which
means vials.
Mm-hmm.
They took 17 cases of dairy and honey and stuff. So, I have to deal with all of that. The publicity on it's been tremendous.
Yeah.
Interviews like this.
They take time,
a lot of time.
What's your philosophy on that? Do you put energy in and time to, you know, make that yourself whole and take these guys to task, or... How do you deal with that on a philosophic level, legally?
Well, in this instance, we're definitely going to sue all four bodies.
Are you?
Well, there were six that showed up, but only four that gave us their cards. The FBI were there. FBI were there.
Unbelievable.
Canadian government was there. They refused to give us their cards. But the FDA, the California Department of Agriculture, the Los Angeles County Health Department, and the Los Angeles City Attorney was there. So we're going to sue those four.
All this for raw milk?
It's all about raw milk.
It's like a bad movie.
Yep. Well, you know, you have to understand that raw milk has been used as a medicine and is so great. Even the American Indians, they would find a lactating animal if you got bit by, let's say, a rattlesnake or a scorpion. You know, a young scorpion with very concentrated venom. They would drink that, and that would draw the poisons to the stomach where the hydrochloric acid would neutralize venom. Hydrochloric acid is the best way to neutralize venom. So milk was used in that process. So milk, I found that milk is such a great substance that it's medicinal in any form. Like, you know, Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. That is the ultimate to me.
We often hear the argument from the vegan crowd that we are the only mammals that take in milk after weaning, and
well, we're the only ones that are, you know, aggressive enough to take a lactating animal and force them to keep lactating. I've offered raw milk to every animal I know, even herbivores, and they all drink. Horse will drink milk. Cows will even drink its own milk.
Hmm.
Every animal I've ever offered raw milk will drink the milk.
They'll drink it. Dogs will drink it. They love it.
Oh, absolutely.
They love it.
Dogs.
Yeah, they love
every
it.
Every animal that I've ever offered it to consumed it.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Of course, I never offered it to a salamander. You know, I'm talking about, you know, your vertebrae animals that are not salamanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very interesting. Well, I just...
So that's a weak thing, you know. They say, well, you know, the milk isn't the same molecular structure as...
Sure.
You know, as the human. And I say, well, a leaf of a vegetable isn't either. You convert it if you can digest it. You can't digest the leaf, but you can digest the animal.
Hutchins, when are you going to come to Texas? I'd like to meet you. You know, we talked for two or three, four different times. You have any plans to come into this area where I am?
Well, I only go where I am called.
I see.
There's a group. I never go through these. I never set up the workshops at all. People have such an interest. It's changed their lives so much. They want to share it with the people around. They set it all up. I don't have time. So
yeah.
I just fly from one place to another and do the work.
Just tell me where to go, right? Just show me the way.
That's it. Right.
And where do you go?
So, I mean, if you or somebody in Texas had an interest, I would be there.
Okay. So where do you go from here in a short time, because we're running out of time? Where do you go from here?
Well, I'll be going to back to the States and start my next tour. And the first will be Aspen, then Sedona, Arizona, then Chicago, where is St. Louis.
Oh, you're a gypsy. And where is your home?
Yes. Malibu, California.
Ah, terrific. Well, Hutchins von der Planitz, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you here. We've learned a lot over the last couple of hours.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I just wanted to let you know that... I guess you don't know, I have a PhD in nutrition.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Why you're such a smarty pants.
I guess so.
Good night to you, sir. Have a pleasant evening in Thailand. Take care of yourself. Hutchins von der Planitz. See, I didn't even know you had a PhD in nutrition. Yeah, that's always fun, huh? Okay, you little pumpkin pies, we're out of here. Time for a little lunch in Texas, wherever you are. Hope you, I know you enjoyed the show. I sure did. We will see you tomorrow. We're going to talk with, what's the fellow's name? Frosty the Snowman. No, Frosty Woolridge. America on the Brink. I love you all very much. It's an honor to be here with you. And we will see you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Patrick Timpone, take care.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.